good morning. So I want to get right into the Word. That's what we want to do, is flow from one to the other. Listen, they've been singing about names. They've been singing about the importance of the name of Jesus, that name above all names. And my hope is that when you leave here, you know absolutely for sure, here's the thing, that Jesus is the answer for any healing need, for any sort of need that you have. And when I say healing, body, soul, and spirit, that Jesus is the answer. Now, how we get to that answer, we're going to talk a little bit about that, all right? There's a process involved, and I want to help you navigate some of the things of life that may hinder you from getting to the healing that God has for you. But we started a series a couple of weeks ago talking about the names of God, and why are we even bothering to do this? Well, here's the thing. As you know his different names, it describes his attributes, his nature, who he really is. And so you could say, well, you know, God, okay, God and Jesus, well, okay, but what does that mean? And so we began to introduce this over the earlier weeks, and we said, first of all, he's your creator. Makes sense, right? You know, he's your creator. In the beginning, God created. So there it is right there. And so we have that. Without that, nothing else happens, all right? So you need to know him as that. And I was going to go into some other names, and the Holy Spirit arrested me, literally, and said, look, you need to talk to him about this one name that's more important than every other name. And that's to know him as your Abba Father. In other words, that, because here's the thing, every other name, unless it's towards you, it means that it's some other person. It's not about you. So here's what I mean. I remember going to a friend's house, and it was awesome. You know, the dad and mom were there, and they were so helpful. It was just as, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had a dad like that. How many people maybe were somewhere, and they're like, man, that was really nice. You know, how come my dad's not like that, right? And I had a great dad, all right? But just, I'm like, wow. You know, and that's how we are sometimes with God. We see God do a bunch of things in other people's lives, and we're kind of on the outside saying, well, I wish my dad would do that. Well, I got news for you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is your dad, and you can go to him, and he will help you. He's there for you. And so that was just really important, to know him as your Abba Daddy, all right, your Abba Father. And then we moved on, and we learned about that he is your provider. He wants to provide for every need that you've got in life. And again, he's your provider. In fact, say this with me. God is my provider because, say that, he's my Father. Okay. And then last week we talked about the fact that he is the one who sees all. You know, and that's important because sometimes the enemy wants to separate us out, and we're kind of out, you know, we're kind of like this. I just want to go to the garden and eat worms. You know, I just, you know, I'm lower than a snake's belly. You know, nobody understands me. No one sees me. No one cares. I'm not going to ask for a survey how many people have said that, but I have, all right, over the years from time to time. But here's the thing. Jesus sees you right where you are. And he is there for you. He will walk. You might think you're on an island of one. See, it doesn't matter. If you're on some remote island, shipwrecked, or however you got there, there's two people on that island, you and Jesus. All right? You are never, ever, ever alone. He sees you. And that's so important, especially when you're going through a trial or a difficulty or just, you know, a low point in life, to know that he's there to hold your hand, to hold you up, and to guide you through that situation. Amen? And here's the thing, though. He's a call away. Sometimes it's like this. We're here and we're like, oh, I feel so bad, blah, blah, blah. And he's behind you, right? And you're like, you just need to turn around. There he is. You know what I'm saying? And actually say, Lord, I need your help. So call out to him. He is there for you. And so we've talked about those different names. We're going to move on into another name today. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to see it for yourself in the Word, and so you can have that aha, there it is, and then we will go on from there. And so it's found in the book of Exodus. Give you a little bit of background. Moses has already led the people out of Egypt. So they've been, and they got to the Red Sea. They've crossed through the Red Sea. And now they're a couple days out in the desert, and they begin to complain because there's no water to drink. And that's where we pick up the story, all right? So Exodus 15, I'm reading from New King James Version, beginning at verse 22, and they'll put it up on the screens as well. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, and there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So here we have this account, this real life story of what has happened. And this, just so you know, and again, not everyone gets this, but the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the New. In other words, we see truths that actually are going to be brought to their fullness in the New Testament. So what's the background on this? Well, when Moses brought the children out of Egypt, the Israelites, that's a sign for you and I, an example of when we come to know Jesus. We come out of the world. The world is like Egypt, and we leave there, and we go towards God. We go towards what he's got for us. And you know, the Red Sea, that's a symbolic of baptism. That's the first step. When you come out of the world and you begin to go towards God, you're baptized, right? And then you move forward. And at this point, a few days later, in the natural, they're now thirsty. Well, how does that apply to you and I? Well, here's what I've noticed for many Christians. You've accepted Jesus, you begin your walk with him, and everything's great. But then somewhere along the way, a disappointment comes along. Somewhere along the way, maybe you have a physical healing need, and you're like, hey, God, heal me, you know, and nothing happens. Or maybe a situation financially, a circumstance comes up, relationship, you know, it could be almost anything. But somehow God just didn't do what you thought he should do. You know, I guess you thought God was kind of like, what is it, Burger King? You can have it your way. But you know what I've learned? It's God's way or no way. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes, you know, let's just face it. We have disappointments that happen. How many people have had a disappointment, you know, towards God where you thought, man, it should be this way. Why isn't it this way? You know, all the ducks are in a row. This makes sense. How many people had that happen? You know, and it's like, it didn't happen. And so that's, in a sense, where these people were at, right? And in fact, the word merah means bitterness. It literally, that name means that. And it can mean disappointment as well. And so there they are in that place. And so now they're starting to blame Moses, right? In fact, if we go on and read, we see that this is a reoccurring thing where they were disappointed or bitter. And they're like, it would have been better if we stayed back in Egypt. They somehow forgot that they were slaves in Egypt. Somehow they forgot how bad it really was in Egypt. They forgot that, you know, that their children were murdered by the Egyptians, you know, because there was too many of them being born. Somehow they forgot the bad, but the few good things that happened, that's all they remember. But here's the thing, it can happen to you and I as well. You know, we turn our lives to Jesus and we leave our Egypt, right? We leave our old way of life, walking towards what God has for us. But all of a sudden we hit a stumbling block, we hit a disappointment, we hit a bitter water, so to speak. And it's like, oh, God, it was better back there. Listen, you should, when you get saved, write down all the bad things that had been happening in your life before you got saved. Just have it as like a little memo for you. You know what I'm saying? So that when you think, man, it was better, go back and just read that page about all the terrible things that were going on in your life and the hurt and the emptiness of heart, all those things. Because sometimes we forget how bad it really was. Especially for some of us who may have been in the Lord for a while, we forget how bad it was. And so, here's the deal. They complain. Now, does God ignore them? No, he says, hey, Moses, you know, take a tree. And it's interesting. It was a certain tree. It wasn't like just take any tree. But I believe that God showed him a specific tree. And so throw that into the water and the waters will be made sweet. And it happened. And the people could drink. Now, there was between, you know, theologians say between like a million point five people, all right, plus livestock, all right, plus any other, you know, to wash things and all that. Could you imagine the millions of gallons of water they need daily? You know, we got a creek here, and there's a lot of water runs over this creek, believe it or not. And the thing is, it wouldn't even touch it. You know, literally you need like the Hudson River, you know what I'm saying, to be able to supply the needs that they had. And so this water was necessary, and God provided a way. Can I tell you that if you really have a need, not a greed, but a need, that God will meet that need every single time. And even if you got a bad attitude, because here's bad attitude, right? murmuring, complaining. But can I tell you, it's better not to approach God this way, but go to him saying, Lord, you are my provider. You're the one that sees me. You know, we talked about those names last week. And Lord, now you are my healer. So whatever I need, you will bring healing into my life. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. That's how we should approach. Not whining and whinging. I had kids. How many people here have had kids? And I had 5 of them, all right? Now listen, they learned pretty early on. My kids are pretty bright in that they learned something. They used to whinge and whine and complain about stuff. And you know what I would do? I'd push back on that every time. I just, whingy, whiny kids just irritate me, all right? As I get older, even more, all right? It just irritates me. But when my kids come to me and say, hey, Dad, you're the best dad in the whole world. You know, I know what's coming. But you know what? I just let them go because it just feels good, all right? So, you know, you're the best dad in the world. You provide every need that I've got. And, Dad, you've been so good to me. And I'm like, okay, tell me what you want. And they tell me. And if it's within reason, I'm like, okay, let's work this through. How are we going to do this? And obviously, if it's not common sense, we talk about that too. But the point is, that's what God wants, to grateful-hearted people approaching him, honoring him for who he is. Now, I'm not talking about buttering him up. You know, God sees through all that, all right? But to go to him with sincerity of heart and say, Lord, your word says that you are a provider. And Lord, I got this need right now, and I need this healing, and I need some help in this. What do I do? That you approach God with that kind of heart, you will never turn away empty-handed, ever. Ever, I'm telling you, all right? But you go whinging and whining, I'm not sure. God might say, look, when you have a better attitude, come back to me. You know what I'm saying? Because let's just approach him. We just sang about it. He's the creator of everything. You know, do you think we should, as his, you know, as us, go to the creator of the world and approach him with a bad attitude, the one who made all the universes, all the stuff we can see and can't see? Let's go to him with a heart of honor of putting him in his rightful place. Amen. And in a sense, putting ourselves in a rightful place as his servants, right? As his children. Amen. Okay. So as we look at this, though, I want to make a connection. I made that statement earlier that the Old Testament is like a shadow or a foreshadow of the New Testament. So this light, you know, is shining on me. If you look behind me, there's a shadow behind me. And so you can see the outline of me, okay? Now, am I there or am I here? I'm here, right? The shadow can sort of show a little bit about me, but it really isn't the substance. And so any major truth that's in the Old Testament, any major doctrine, always sees its fulfillment in the new. So let me show you the fulfillment of this tree in the Bible, all right? And how it applies to you and I. And it's found in 1 Peter 2, verse 24. And here it says this, he, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the, what's it say? Tree. So that we might die to those sins and live righteously. For by his wounds, or some versions say by his stripes, you have been healed. So that was a picture, in a sense, when God showed Moses, hey, put this tree in this specific tree, and it will bring healing to your bitterness, to your disappointments. And that is a picture. Listen, it's not about fresh water today. That's not what this is talking about. What it's talking about is healing from the bitterness and disappointment spiritually that you have in your life. And that the answer is who? Jesus, you know, it's not a trick question, right? Just so you know, the answer is Jesus to everything, but the idea is that we unpack it so that you can understand how it works in your situation. And so here Jesus hung on the tree, right? Hung on, we call it a cross, but in the original language, it actually points to the Old Testament referring to a tree, a stake, actually, all right? And so literally that Old Testament picture there is now tied to the New Testament. And Jesus, being the substance of that answer, is that he is the answer, not only for your salvation, but also for any physical, emotional healing, any type of healing that you need has been purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. Amen? And so if that's not enough, let me just show you one more scripture to connect this for you. And it's in Matthew 9, verse 35. And here, look at this. It says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and what? Healing every disease and every sickness. Now listen, this isn't a one-off scripture. It's not some red herring, some one scripture that, you know, that you can misinterpret. This actually in Matthew, it's a couple of times in there. It's in all the gospels. It's in a bunch of the letters that basically connects the message of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, to healing. It's synonymous. In other words, if there's one, there's the other, because they are connected. Because in the kingdom, there is complete healing and restoration. In fact, in the Old Testament, they'll bring up the definition. I'm going to go back, make them go back. Jehovah Rapha. So Jehovah means the eternal self-existent one. The word Rapha means healer or restorer. And that's literally what God said he was in the Old Testament. And that same truth moves forward into the New Testament. So God is what? Your healer. He is your healer. Now here's the thing. When we hear the word healing, often we relegate that down to physical healing. You know, I hurt my ankle, so I need healing. You know, I hurt my arm, I need healing. And that's true, right? But here's the thing. Healing is far bigger than that. And so what I want to do, first of all, is show you, in God's eyes, his priority of healing. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to give you the 3 points of his priority. Now, how many people have had a list of 3 things they needed to do one day? Now, how many people got through all 3 things? Probably not, right? Okay, I want you to understand, God is not like that. So in other words, as I do the 1, the 2, the 3, it's not like, well, God might not bother getting to the 3rd one because he didn't have time. Okay, he's got all the time in the world. So when I bring these points up, they're all important, but there's an order to it because one hinges on another, which hinges on another. And so you need to see that and understand that. All right, so let's look at this. The first thing, here's the first priority, the healing of your heart. All right, that's the most important thing. Scripture says this, God desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen to me, this is the healing that's above every other healing, is that the healing that you become born again, that your heart was dark with sin, was black, literally, and that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and now it's made white as snow. I don't know how God does that, all right? I don't know how red blood makes things white. Because when I get blood on something, it's just not coming out. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not going white. But in God's way of doing things, his blood applied makes us as white as snow. Our heart is changed. That is the greatest miracle any one of us could ever have. And let me tell you, if that's the only miracle you ever experienced, that's enough. But I want to tell you something. God's got so much more than that. But it all begins there. And so often people say, well, look, if you'll just heal me of this physical thing, then I'll believe in you. Listen to me. Even if he healed you divinely at that moment, sooner or later, whatever was fixed is going to break again. You get what I'm saying? And so then what, are you going to fall out of believing? So your healing and your faith in God can't be connected that way. In other words, you can't say, well, I believe in you, Jesus, because you physically heal me. Please don't connect God that way. But you believe in him because he's what? Healed your heart. Here's what God has done. When he healed your heart, he gave you a new address. Your address before you were healed was a place called hell. I know that's not popular, you know, preaching nowadays, but can I tell you there is a heaven and a hell? That was the address before. And when God healed your heart, he gave you a new address, and it's in heaven. Plus, not just a place in heaven. A mansion in heaven. You get what I'm saying? Streets of gold in heaven. You get what it's much more than even just a place. Man, it's a position. It's an honor. It's awesome. How many people are looking forward to heaven one day? Amen? But here's the thing. Some teaching would say, well, look, God doesn't heal today. He'll heal. You know, sure, he heals your heart. You become born again. But any other kind of healing, yes, everything will be made perfect in heaven. Now, how many people know in heaven it will be perfect? All right, but here's the thing. I believe that between here and heaven, God still wants to work miracles. He still wants to bring healing in all kinds of different ways, all right? So let's talk about the next type of healing that God wants to bring. So the healing of the heart, number one, right? Healing of the soul or the mind is the next one, right? Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. So right there, it talks about turn your ear to the words. What does that mean? It means turn your thinking, bend towards God. And that's something that's difficult. Do I have any strong-willed people here? No. Just you in saying that, you're strong-willed. So my point is, most of us, most humans, man, you get your mind set, you're set, all right? And it takes a lot to change that. Well, here's the thing. God is saying, look, you've got your mind set on a lot of different things, but are you willing to bend? Are you willing to incline your ear when it's different? See, there's lots of scripture I agree with. How many people agree with most of the Bible, right? In other words, like, yeah, that makes sense, right? But what about those difficult scriptures where you struggle with? Like where he says, you know, out of your need, out of your want, give to him first. Like, well, that's not fair. If I give to you, I'll have even less. But that's what the word says to do. And that's a struggle, right? How about love your enemies? Like, that's one that I don't like that. I'm like, no, I got a problem with them. They hurt me. They did this. They did that. I don't want to love them. Yet the word says we need to. Why? Bring that scripture up again. You need to see this. There's a reason why. It says, don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart and soul. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. In other words, the results of you inclining your ear to the Lord, of being obedient to what he's telling you to do, will literally bring health to not only your mind, but even your body. You know, that's amazing, right? In other words, if people are sick in their thinking, that actually can translate to having a sick body. And even in a medical profession, you know, not non-Christian studies have shown that if you've got, you know, thinking that you don't have peace, for example, or you don't have hope for the future, that you will not be as healthy in your body as those people who do have those things. And so even the world recognizes that. How much more we as believers should recognize we need to be doing the word so that we can have health and wholeness in our life. And it's not easy. Again, back speaking to you strong-willed people, of which I am of that camp, I don't like to be told I'm wrong. I remember Pastor Vic preaching over the years. He was a lead pastor here for about 25 years, give or take. And sometimes he would say something, I'm like, I don't agree with that. And I would go home, and I'd look into the Word, and I'd pray, and I'm like, oh, he's right. He's right. Now, here's the thing. If you're strong-willed and you don't like to be told you're wrong, just don't tell anybody you did that. Just fix it on the inside, then come back next week. You get what I'm saying? You don't have to make a big stink of it. You know, in the early days, they'd be like, hey, Pastor Vic, you know, I think you said this. And he's like, no, here's what the Word says. So then I really felt like an idiot. So I learned, just go home, work it out, come back to church next week, smile, nobody knows. You fixed it, everybody's good, right? Having said that, if any time I say something, and you're like, you got an issue, or you got a problem, or you need clarification, never hesitate to come and ask, all right? Whether, you know, after church or send me an email or whatever, I'm happy to bring clarification. I don't want anyone to think that I got it all figured out. I'm on a journey with you, all right? And in fact, when you get to heaven, I never want any one of you, when Jesus asks a question, to say, Pastor Carl told me, leave me out of it. You leave me out of it, all right? I can't, all right? You need to know what you know. It needs to be your faith in Jesus, not vicariously through me or through anybody, all right? At best, my job is to kind of inspire you, encourage you to walk with Jesus yourself, amen? That's if I've done that, I've done a great job. That's what I want to do for you. So leave my name out of it when you get to heaven, all right? Especially if I've done something wrong. Leave my name out of it. I don't want to get tagged with that, all right? Amen. Okay, so healing of your soul is just so important. That your mind, it affects your life in such an immense way. Let's move on to the third one. Just as important, but again, priority-wise, healing of your body. Third John says this, dear friend, I pray that you are doing well in every way and that you are healthy just as your soul is healthy. And so here, John is saying, well, look, at you know, I pray that you are physically well. But then he adds his little tagline, right? Just as your soul is healthy. Well, what does that mean if we look at this in reverse? If your soul's not healthy, what's that mean about your body? Could be some issues, right? And that's literally what this is saying. And the interconnection between our mind, our will, and our emotions, and our physical well-being, they all impact one another. And so we need to be so, so careful about that. Amen? In fact, we have a testimony. Dane, you want to come up and just share your healing testimony of how the interconnection between all of that. Let me turn this on. Amen. Thank you.
So you always want to be paying attention in case he calls on you to come up here. So I was probably 20 years old. I injured my shoulder, lifting weights, and got saved when I was 25. It really bothered me. And so I prayed about it, had everybody pray about it, nothing. So I'm in my 40s, and I simply tried to reach up in a cupboard to get a cup, and it hurt my shoulder so bad the tears are running down my face. So my lovely wife says, are you going to go to the doctor? Yeah, great. So I go to the doctor, and I've got a messed up shoulder. I'm going to have surgery. But before you get the surgery, they have to do a dye injection into the shoulder joint to see what it looks like. Anybody ever have that done? Not fun. So I lay on a table, and there's a screen there, and he's going to put a needle in my shoulder joint and put some stuff in it. Except apparently he's not done this before. Yeah, so he's on a fishing trip, right? He's doing all this stuff. And I'm laying there, and there's no Novocaine for this thing, right? And the sweat's just running off me. And I said to him, hey, you got one more shot, man, or I'm out of here. And the guy pushes really hard, and he goes right through my shoulder out the back. And in that, he damaged a nerve. And so I was getting spasms in my tricep, probably 20 to 50 a day spasms. It's just going to spasms. So I went back to my orthopedic surgeon, and they fired that doctor because I'm, like, livid. And I said, by the way, I'm going to sue you, because that's what I work in the suit business, right? That's what we do. We sue people. So I have a day planner, and I'm keeping a record of every spasm I get in my tricep. Because this guy, he's a doctor, and he messed up. I am hot, right? So I go along, and the surgeon says, hey, by the way, I'm going to fix the shoulder. I can't do anything about the nerve. You're just going to have spasms in your tricep forever. And I'm like, great. So I had the surgery. Shoulder's fine. Spasms are there. I've got a record of zillions of spasms, right? So I'm at church. And there's a guy there, Peter Puglio, one of my favorite guys in the world, and he had a healing gift. So he's in church that Sunday. So I go up after him, like, hey, Peter, pray for my shoulder. You know, some doctor screwed it up or whatever. And he's like, yeah, sure. So he comes over, and he literally goes like this, jumps back, and he goes, Lord says he's not going to heal you until you forgive that doctor. And I'm like, yeah, but so I show him. I show him my day planner. Look. This guy screwed up. And he's like, yeah, you got to forgive him. So I come up to the altar, fall on my knees, and I forgive the guy. Peter prayed. I've had zero spasms for the last 25 years.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Dane. What a great example of showing you the connection between the soul and the body. And so that's why when you look at Jesus, when he healed somebody, he'd do it a certain way. And then you had another person that had the same symptoms. He never did it the same way. You ever notice that? And if Jesus had done, for example, all the blind people, if for every blind person he spit in the ground, made saliva up, and stuck it in their eyeballs, we'd be doing that. We'd have a little pile of dirt here, right? And be spitting it. Like, because we'd be like, that's the formula, right? But he only did it once. And the reason why he only did it once is because each one of us, even if we had all the same symptoms of something, each have different sources of why that's going on. And in Dane's case, it was literally nothing at all connected to the physical, right? It was something in his mind. It was an offense that he had. And once that was released, then healing could happen. And that can happen in our lives. Sometimes it is just a physical issue. But the point is, don't ever put God in a box. And that's why you need to go through some steps to deal with this. So here's what I want to do now. I've been involved in ministry for 30 plus years now. So I've had a lot of people come to me with questions about healing. I've had my own questions. Anybody here have any questions about healing? Sure. Yeah. In other words, all of us have. So I just want to ask these questions, kind of throw them out, and then I'm going to kind of answer them, in a short kind of way. Because it could be some of these questions are your questions, all right? So here's the first question. I've asked for prayer for healing, and nothing seems to have changed. What should I do? Isn't that an honest thing? Maybe you've come forward for prayer here or someone's prayed for you and you're like, nothing's happening. What do I do? Well, here's what the Word says. Let's look at what the Word says. Amen. They're going to put it up. There it is. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. So that's not saying, run up for more prayer necessarily. But what that scripture is talking about, you be in prayer. In other words, you be in communication with God. You be talking to God and say, Lord, I still got this need. This thing's going on. I'm dealing with this, relationship healing that I need, or I got this physical healing or financial issue. Lord, show me what to do. and begin to walk with him and talk with him. And then, yeah, you can get prayer in agreement with someone, you know, whether here at church or a spouse or whatever. But the point is, you need to begin to talk to the Lord about it and process it. You know what I've learned a lot about Jesus is that sometimes there's some steps involved. In other words, you're like, well, just fix me. How many people prayed that? I have. My wife's prayed that for me probably for years. You know, Lord, just fix them, you know. And so the point is that, you know, we just want that instantaneous thing. But the point is that sometimes there's some steps. For example, Dane gave a perfect example. He had to forgive, and then healing came. And there's a lot of people that's something that you may have to do. And right now, a face has just come before you. You're like, no, I'm not doing that. Well, are you going to bend your ear to Jesus or not? And then receive what he has for you. Your choice. Or you can just stay suffering and going through whatever you're doing, or bend your ear. What does that mean? It means default to him instead of what you want to do. And yes, there's sacrifice involved. You know, so many people say, well, the sacrificial system, that was in the Old Testament. We don't have to sacrifice now. Oh, yes, you do. You sacrifice praise still to him. You sacrifice finances still to him. But most of all, you sacrifice your wrong way of thinking to him. Amen? So that you might receive healing and wholeness, because that's what God wants for each and every one of us. Why? Because he's our Father. Personal. Amen? Okay. So, I've asked for healing. What do you do? Keep praying. Do not give up. All right? That's just so, so important. But again, if you get prayer, all right, and then nothing happens, and then you just keep doing the same cycle and nothing happens, isn't that like a form of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? Well, here's the thing then. You need to change your plan. Again, spending more time in prayer, saying, Lord, what should I do? Begin to push into what he has for you. And you might not like what he has to say, but are you willing to do it? And healing, if God speaks, let me tell you something. Every time in the Old Testament, every time in the New Testament, when God got involved in a circumstance, healing always happened. Can you say amen to that? Always. It wasn't a maybe. Always. All right, next question. I have a health issue, and I'm waiting and believing for God to heal me. No, I haven't gone to the doctor for a diagnosis, because I asked that question, right? Should I just keep hanging on? Okay, I get this question all the time. All the time. And so I say, well, why haven't you gone to the doctor? And they'll say, well, I'm just believing God. You know, I'm believing for him to, you know, do it supernaturally. I'm like, okay. So here's what I've noticed with people who say that. That a lot of the reason that they're not going to the doctor isn't because they have great faith in God, but they have more fear in what the doctor's going to say. Listen to me. This is very real what I'm saying here. And when a person comes up to me and they say, well, I'm not going to the doctor, about 75% of the time, the reason is they're afraid of what the doctor's going to say. Now, is that real faith? That sounds like fear to me. That sounds like cowardness. That sounds like, you know, burying your head in the sand like an ostrich or something and just waiting for the wild animal to go away. By the way, that doesn't work really well. You bury your head, your body's still there, you're going to get eaten, okay? And the same for us. Just burying your head, just hoping it will go away. Then it goes from stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, then dead. You hear what I'm going? I'm just being honest with you this morning. Burying your head in the sand and living in fear will not bring the remedy and the healing that God has for you. Now, are there times where God could say, trust me? I have no issue with that at all. And you need to trust him. But let me tell you something. The medical profession is not the enemy, and they're not a default for the people who have no faith. That's just a lie. Don't. Sometimes that's the pathway for you to be healed. God sometimes does that. So for some of you, you've heard this story before, but it really fits here, all right? And so I was on the road with an evangelist back in the mid-90s. And so he was of the, I will call it the hyper-faith movement, where basically, you know, you just pray and believe and you don't need anyone else kind of thing. And if you have enough faith, God will do whatever you ask him to. All right, so that was the camp I'm under, because that's the guy I'm with at the time going around. And so I had this toothache. It was right up here. I remember right where it was. And it started to get worse. And worse, I was with him on the road for about 6 months. So it got to a point about 3 months in that I couldn't sleep a whole night. That I was up probably every hour on the hour pacing. Now listen, I know God's word. So I'm taking God's word. I'm naming it. I'm claiming it. I'm proclaiming every healing scripture I could find. Man, I'm saying it, all right? You know, I'm speaking to the enemy. I'm telling him to get lost. I'm doing all that. And let me tell you something. It got worse and worse and worse. So finally, I come home off the road. That tour ended. So I'm on the road. I'm standing in front of my mirror in the bathroom one morning. And I just said, Jesus, I'm really mad at you. I'm just being honest with you here. I'm really mad at you. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. I said, well, why? I'm like, you know why. I know you see me. I know you saw me pacing around those motel rooms night after night, you know, in pain and suffering, and me calling, you know, all those scriptures. And you know, why didn't you heal me? And again, a little silence on the other end, because I have to calm down so I can hear. God knows that. So God spoke and said, did you ever ask me? I'm like, what do you mean? You know, you saw my need, you know, and I've been proclaiming your word. He says, but have you ever asked me what you should do? And I'm like, I don't think I did. And I said, well, Lord, what should I do? You know what he told me? Go to the dentist. Now, this isn't the end of the story. I get to the dentist, right? And the guy's going, Now, it's bad when a dentist does that, all right? You know it's bad, right? And so I'm there. I'm like, oh. So he says, you know, if you had gone to me about 6 months ago, I could have saved this tooth no problem at all. Now I have a hole. There's a hole there because it had to come out. The point being, it was about 6 months when the thing started. And if I had just asked God for me, that particular thing, the path for me was to go to a dentist. But what do we do so often? We shoehorn God's word into whatever circumstance we have, thinking, well, that fits, so I'm just going to right? I'm just going to make this fit, and so therefore God has to honor it. No, he doesn't. Remember, it's not your way. Can't have it your way. You have it his way. And so if you want God to heal you in any way, shape, or form, you need to ask him. And then you need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And to take those steps of faith. Because that's really what it is. Steps of faith, whether you're going to a dentist or a doctor or divinely being healed or walking up to the front of the church. That's an act of faith as well for prayer. So however he wants to do it, to let him do it. Amen? Okay. Oh, Lord. Okay. Number three, I'm having some health struggles. Does that necessarily mean I'm doing something wrong or I'm out of the will of God? Again, this whole teaching of unless your life is completely perfect, you look perfect on the outside, you're completely, you know, looking like you got it all together, and you have no health needs, then you're in God's divine healing, that he divinely keeps you. I remember I was a young person in the Lord, just a couple years old in the Lord, and I was watching this televangelist on television, and he was talking about, you know, divine healing, and he said, and I walk in divine healing, because, you know, I'm doing everything God wants me to do. So then he goes back to, you know, the pulpit where he is, and he grabs his glasses to read the next scripture verse. I'm like, what a jerk. And again, I call things as it, I just turned it off. I'm like, the guy's a bone-faced liar. Like, there it is. He's taking his glasses. He's not divine, walking in divine health. He needs glasses to see. Like, come on. Here's the thing, though. I don't want to diminish healing. God does heal today. But I want to call out the fallacy that somehow that if you're in perfect God's perfect will, that you're going to experience complete perfect health. There's no promises in God's word about that. And the thing is your faith dependent upon your physical healing or upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he purchased for you? And I hope that's where you're hinged on, that's what you're about, whether you're healed or not. You know, Sandra is dealing with RA, you know, it came upon her a few years ago, rheumatoid arthritis, for anyone that doesn't know the definition. And it's a horrible thing. You know, we've gone to the Lord about it, we pray about it, had lots of prayer about it. Now, here's the thing. God has healed both Sandra and I of many medical issues, divinely, supernaturally, in the past. So let me tell you something. This is no faith issue, all right? I don't care what anybody says. This is not a faith issue. But the thing is, we've made this proclamation that while we can keep running with Jesus, we're going to run. And when we can't run anymore, we'll walk. And when we can't walk, we'll crawl. In other words, we're not going to let that hinder us from what God has called us to do. And it's so important in your life that if your life is hinged upon physical healing, it's like, well, God, I'm not going to serve you unless you do this. You can't hold God hostage. I just got news for you. That dog doesn't hunt. That's not going to work for you. But rather, just say, Lord, I got this situation. I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm going to keep running with you, serving you. And Lord, pray you'll guide me on what I'm supposed to do about that. But don't let it be a roadblock to you, but rather just something you're believing for the future. Now, here's the deal. One day, Sandra will be healed. Yeah. One day you will be healed of every absolute issue in your life, right, when we cross from this life to the next. But here's what I do believe. God still heals today. And we have to believe that. You can't just say, well, I prayed for this one person and they didn't get healed, therefore God doesn't heal. Man, you're drawing a conclusion upon your experience rather than what God's word says. That sounds a little dangerous to me, doesn't it? You know, lots of cults started that way. We want to just take God's word as it is and trust him and believe him. Amen? All right, the final thing. I'm sick or I'm not well. How can I share my faith or with others or pray for a sick person to be healed? So many people, gifted people that have giftings and callings on their life by the Holy Spirit, that they feel that they can't pray for other people because they're not quite right yet. And again, a lot of this is because of false teaching that's been around. Listen to me. If you were perfect in every single way, your prayer still can't move an ant. You hear what I'm saying? So what are we doing when we pray for people? It's not, you know, us doing it. Amen. What praying for someone is this. You have become a conduit for God to flow through to touch someone around you. So can a pipe have a few holes in it and still be a conduit? Can a pipe be a little bit bent and kinked and still water will flow through it? You get what I'm saying? Well, okay, see yourself that way. You might not be quite right, all right? And I say that of me. I shouldn't say that of you. I'm not quite right. But because I'm willing, God can still work in and through me. And he will do the same for you. Do not let Satan deceive you or trick you into saying, because I'm not quite right or I've still got this issue or that issue, that God can't use you. He wants to and he will use you if you're willing. Amen. So I can't. Yes, sir, Norman.
I see that.
Amen. Amen. Good word. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. They're going to come up. We're going to put this into action. You know, one of the things about Reach Out Church is this, that we believe in what we talk about. You know, we don't talk about some God far away. We talk about a God who wants to work still today. Amen. So I'm just going to ask everyone to stand. You know, we're doing pretty good time-wise. We've got a few minutes here together. So I want to ask a question. How many people have a healing need of some sort in their lives? Just put your hand up to the Lord. All right. See, hands raised everywhere. Okay, you can put your hands down. Because this way, if you want to hide, you can still hide. Okay, so that's why I'm doing this. Because I'm not here to embarrass anyone. It's step one is to acknowledge you need help. And you've just done that. You put your hand up and say, I need help. I need healing. Step two is to literally take a step. Now, for some of you, it's easy. Because you've come up for prayer before and you're like, hey, nothing bad happened up there. In fact, it helped me. But for some of you, it's a scary experience to walk up to the front of the church. But that's the next step you need to take. If you're serious and you're like, oh, Lord, you know, I need healing. I need help. And whatever that is. Then in a few moments, we're going to invite you to come forward, all right? Want to come up? Brian's just going to share just a quick word as we transition.
Morning, everybody.
It's on. Yeah, they'll turn it on.
Morning. All right. So this morning I prayer journal, and this morning I was writing a letter to Jesus out of desperation. It was a letter for help, but more so a letter for healing. And I started to go on about the problems and where I'm at with him and where I think I should be and problem. And then I made this statement, I wrote it down, and I said, why am I this? I won't share with you. And as soon as I wrote, am I, he responded immediately with, I am. And yes. It was kind of a bizarre response because he gave the same response to Moses when he was a fiery tree. Jesus gave the same response when he was asked who he was. He said, I am with power and authority. And it was very good to know that he was still with me because I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. At least I thought of that. And he's still there. He's still with me.
Amen.
And the healing that I need is of my mind because it's the wrong mindset. I know that I've been saved. If you don't know you've been saved, you need to confess and believe with all your heart. For me, the healing is in my mind, and the physical healings that I need will follow once the mind is there. So this message, I feel, was completely tailored for me, but it's also for you because he shared with me, because there are people here right now that need a healing.
Yes.
Out of those three categories, if you need salvation, today is the day.
Yes.
All right, if you need healing of your mind, you have the wrong way of thinking, your prayer life is hindered.
Yes.
Today is the day where he's going to teach you to cast your burdens on him, because I need to be taught how to cast my burdens on him, because I'm trying to take them with me everywhere I go.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if you need that release today, please come up for prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Healings of your body, he will do it. Amen. He will do it. By your faith, let you be healed. So come on up, receive prayer. I want to pray with you guys. And I'm believing for the Lord to do amazing things today.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, I speak a blessing over your people, Lord God. I pray that we will continue to be healed, spirit, soul, and body, as we continue to walk with you. Bless those here. Bless those who are watching online. Lord, we thank you that you are still a healing God today. And we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning. Amen.